talking about quotas, and if you had to complete a certain amount of work each day, I mean, if you knew how much work you were supposed to complete.
Well, I don't remember. Yes, we had a quota. And I don't remember how much we had to put out, but I know there was a quota. And we always got ours done real early. But the last one, we just lingered on it till it was time to bell to ring and go home. Mm-hmm. But we did get it out. I forget now just how many there were, but we'd always finish them a long time before the bell ring to go home. And I had most of my tools put up, so all I had to do was just run to the tool crib and check them in and ready to go. But we did have a quota on anything that we done. We had a quota.
Were there times when you had more that you had to complete than other times? Were there speed-up times?
No. No. They did on the pickup work, and they needed them right away, you know, to put on the plane, to attach it to the other part that it went to. And they wanted us to finish it as quick as we possibly could. A lot of times our lead man had to jump in and help us. They wanted it so quick, like. But, no, we always had a quota, and we always got our quota out.
Do you remember any, like, encouragement not to waste materials?
Yes.
To be careful about, you know, your work and those kinds of things?
Oh, yes.
What kinds of things?
Well, what we call the siding skins, they call them. And they said, be sure whatever you did, if you were trimming them, we had to have shears, you know, to cut metal. Mm-hmm. And whatever we done, not to cut into it until we knew exactly what we were supposed to be doing, so that we wouldn't waste anything. We never wasted nothing. And a lot of people in there, you never saw the like of rivets in all your life be around their work on the floor. Very seldom that I ever lost that many rivets, because they said they were made out of this Durell or whatever, the metal of some kind, and we had to watch our rivets. You just couldn't throw them around. I've seen people sit in there, just throw these little bit of rivets, other people. Mm-hmm. You know, just kidding around. But I never done that, because I know they had to have everything that they had to have. You know, it was hard to get. So I was kind of saving.
Did they ever talk to you about sabotage?
No, not really. No, and as far as I know, maybe there might have been one or two things that we heard about that happened in the plant of sabotage. But it wasn't, you know, wasn't let out known over the whole plant. Maybe we'd get it in a roundabout way, just gossip, you know.
One woman that I talked with said she was real nervous about making mistakes because she was afraid that they would think that she was trying to sabotage the materials.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I just wondered if you'd ever had those kinds of fears.
No, I never had it. Because I was always taught from a baby on up to do the right thing. Mm-hmm. And not lie about nothing. But I do tell them right now, the white ones. But, no, I was always taught to do the right things, and if you did anything wrong, to tell somebody about it so they could help you right the wrong. But I never thought about no sabotage or anything like that.
Were you aware of people in the plant, like guards, that kind of thing, people that were checking to see if that was going on?
Yes. They had some plainclothesmen in there, and they also had the guards that was in there. Several different plainclothesmen. I don't know, I just could just see them and knew who they were.
They would
be like they were trying to work or do certain job, you know, in there. But all the time they were just glancing around, and their head would come up, and they'd see this one and that. Maybe they had suspicions about a person that was working in that little place where he was working. Then I've seen the guards take several people out. They wouldn't be, fighting or anything like that, but you could see them marching them down the aisles. I don't know whether it was sabotage, not the word, they just kept everything quiet there. They didn't want to get you all frustrated. And even the ones that got hurt on the machines or anything like that, they never let it be known except maybe 2 or 3 weeks or a month. It maybe finally get back to us, you know, because they didn't want anybody to panic in there. If they ever panicked in there, I don't know, we'd have probably all been killed. But they didn't. They just went on beautiful. Just beautiful.
On your breaks, could you do whatever you wanted to?
Well, I suppose some of the people did what they wanted to do. Maybe some of them went to the restroom, or some of them maybe went outside if they were close to a big door. Some of them, you know, smoked. We all smoked, but we weren't allowed to smoke in the plant. We could smoke at lunchtime, but we had to go outside to do it. And a lot of times we'd bring our lunch, and we'd go out and sit in the car or just sit out on the sidewalk or something like that, you know, because the street was closed that we had to go up, except for the bus. And we'd go out and sit on the sidewalk on the curb and do our smoking, but not at rest period because it took us too long to get outside, and the time we got out there, we'd take a puff or two off the cigarette and have to go right back in. But at lunchtime, we did. Maybe we'd go out the back door on the field and have 2 or 3 puffs off a cigarette. But that had to do us, and which was good for us.
So you usually ate lunch outdoors?
Well, not really, not all the time. But it got summertime, you know, because we had to have some fresh air once in a while because we were inside 8 hours. And then we'd catch the bus and go home and ride into the house, you know. And we didn't get much fresh air. But sometimes we did go outside to have our lunch.
Were you free to walk around to other parts of the plant?
No. No, we were supposed to stay in our own department. But in later years, we could go to different ones. They allowed it. But during the war times, no. Or at the end of the war, no. We had to stay in our own department.
What about visiting back and forth with people that you were working with during work hours?
Well, we weren't supposed to visit, but a lot of us did, you know. We were supposed to keep our mind right on our own work instead of saying something what we did last night or yesterday or something like that, you know. But we were supposed to keep our mind on our own work and get out our quota. And I've seen a lot of them do the very same thing, you know. They just visit, visit, visit. But we didn't. We abided by their rules. We were working for the company and we were getting paid by the company, so we thought we should do like we were told to do. I was very conscientious about that. And my partners was too.
Were there ever incidences of harassment on the job that you experienced?
No, not.
Like sexual harassment from men?
No, not really. One time, oh, it was about the end of the war, I guess it was, my partner and I was going to the restroom. And a black man was up in one of the planes. No, he was down at the nose of the plane. And he harassed us, but not sexual. And he was just saying, well, you look like a smarty or something like that, you know. And so we went back and told the lead man. And we didn't see much of that black guy around there for very much longer. And we heard that they had put him out. He'd arrest other people, other women besides us two. So I heard that they had fired him. Now, how true it was, I don't know, but I suppose it did.
But other than that, you didn't have a lot of time from anybody?
No, no. Mm-hmm. Had a lot of flirtations.
Tell me eyes, about that.
Just eyes, you know, or waving at you from the planes or from different sections of the department, you know. Or a big smile, something like that. But, And our lead man, he was kind of sweet on me, I think. Although he was a married man, but he liked me. And he liked us two working together, because he always told everybody, these are the best two gals that I've ever seen yet. We don't want nobody in here messing around with them. Anybody messes around, he wants to. And, no, not really. It was that. Everything went fine as far as I was concerned. Now, there might have been other girls in there, you know, that had that.
Were there very many minority workers?
No, I didn't know any of them. Yeah.
Were there any in the department where you worked, or... were they in other parts of the plane?
Well, they could have been. Yes. But I didn't know any.
Were there, say for instance, with the black workers, were there more black women?
There was a lot of blacks, yes. But I didn't know any of them. I did work with one black one time when a girl took her vacation, but she didn't work out too well, so they had to get me somebody else. She wasn't doing her work right. And so they had to get me someone else, but there weren't too many blacks in my department.
Do you know if like they worked pretty much together in certain departments, or they were pretty much together?
Well, I think they were mixed. I think they were kind of mixed, mm-hmm. But I didn't know them. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't go from one department to the other, and what I worked on, you know, and the people just right around me mostly were white, mm-hmm. And like I said, this Creole girl, but she wasn't as black, you know. And, of course, she had that brogue, the talk of Louisiana, how the Southerners talk. And so she was all right. But she didn't let herself go free. I mean, you know, she kind of kept herself. Because me being from Texas, well, I never mingled with them. And we didn't mingle with the Mexicans or the other, you know. We spoke to them and treated them nice. And if they worked for us, why, that was fine too. But we didn't mix. And so I just didn't mix with any of them in the plant.
Were you ever aware of any incidences happening around racial
class? No. No. I never heard of any, no.
You talked about the rubber mat when you had to stand
mm-hmm.
all day.
Yeah.
Were there other kinds of safety precautions that you were aware of? Like, were some people have talked about machines, parts of machines being painted certain colors to draw your attention to being careful around them and things like that?
No, because I very seldom ever worked around where there was electrical machinery, except the dimpling machine, and I got so I could run that, but that was mighty dangerous too, and it had a sign on it, danger, or something to that effect, you know, but that was about the only machine that was around that we had anything to do with or was around. The rest of the machine was back or over someplace else, you know. We just had a little place, bigger than this room, naturally, to do our work in. And we just didn't, you wasn't allowed to finger all over the department. And we had to stay in our own little section. Not like a cell, but we just weren't, they just told us to stay in our own place, and that's what we did, other than going to the restroom or someplace else to eat. Because all the machinery and everything was shut down, you know, at lunchtime. Of course, we had, they had 3 shifts of lunchtime. But we never went into the departments where, or the other sections, where they were working and we were on our lunch hour, except pass through. So that was the only machine that I remember that I was around that had a danger sign on it.
Did you ever read the Douglas newspaper, the company newspaper?
No, I read it once or twice, but I couldn't tell you what was in it, and I didn't care for it, so I just didn't read it. It didn't concern me, as long as I get out my work, it didn't concern me. When I left the plant, I left it. I came home at nighttime, I left the plant up there. And when I go back in the next morning, I took it up. That was my work, that was my life as long as I was in that plant. When I came home, my mind went elsewhere. I never talked shop.
Were you aware of any kinds of special services that the company provided?
Like
banking or shopping, you know, stores or counseling services.
Well, now they did have, I got a ticket, the first ticket I ever had in the state of California. That's the only ticket I ever had, other than over parking. Going down Ocean Park Boulevard in front of Douglas, and it had 25-mile zone. But I was with somebody else in the car with me, and the officer told me that I was speeding, making 40 miles an hour. And that was in the time of the Zoot Suiters. And so I rolled on down to the signal, and I stopped. Then I was looking out my opposite window I was driving, and the officer knocked on my door. My window, I had it up and had the door locked. And it just like scared me to death. I just knew it was a Zoot Suiter. And he got the biggest kick out of me. And he gave me a ticket. And I went over to, I guess it's a welfare. I forgot now just what it was. And I paid the ticket through them where I wouldn't have to go down to the courthouse to pay it or mail it in. And that was the only thing that I ever asked. Although they did have the welfare, but I never had to go to them for anything. And they had other things too, but I just don't know. They had the union there, and I always seen a lot of people going into the union, people out there, you know, with the office. But I didn't belong to it, and I never went. Only that one time to pay that ticket. It cost me $12.
You said you were afraid it was a Zoot Suiter. Were there incidents in
Santa
Monica?
Yes, and around, in this vicinity. that the zoot suiters were coming and jumping on the sideboards of the car. Some cars still had running boards, you know. Or if you was stopped at a signal, they would run up and maybe break your windshield, you know. If it was a nice looking car, maybe they'd break it and try to rob you. Or if there were women in the car, they'd try to rape them or something. But, oh yes, I've heard of that incident. But not so much around here, but we were aware of the zoot suiters at that time.
You didn't personally have an incident with them?
No, no, no. But you could walk along on the streets and see a lot of them there. And they had on those kind of suits, you know, that's the reason they call them zoot suiters. But no, I never had an incident with any one of them. I never knew one. And they, I imagine that there was some worked in Douglas, but I didn't know them.
What about recreation facilities at Douglas? Recreation clubs and things like that?
Well, I suppose they had them, but I didn't join any of them. I wasn't up to that. I was tired and I went home. And I just wanted to go home and do my little thing. If I wanted to go out, you know, I would go out. But no, I didn't. But when I worked at North American, I was on a baseball team. Well, I'll take it back. I was on a bowling team. I went 3 or 4 times. And I just didn't care for it. So I quit going. But I was on a baseball team with the women at North American. But not at Douglas.
Do you remember, did they ever have special programs or special visitors?
Yes.
Other kinds of...
There was Howard Hughes came down the aisle, and it wasn't announced over the speaker. We heard it, you know, through the grapevine that he was going to be in. And he also had a man with him, his name was Jack Fry, that I grew up with in Texas. His father was a chiropractor, and he was our doctor. And Jack Fry was working for Howard Hughes. And I didn't get to speak to either one of them, but my brother did talk to both of them. He was working in the machine shops at Douglas, and he talked to Howard Hughes and to Jack Fry. And we were working right close to the aisle where they'd come down, and they had other celebrities with them. And looked up, and I had been so long since I saw Jack, I kind of halfway recognized him, and Howard Hughes, yes, I recognized him. But we did not speak. And there were a lot of celebrities come through and come down the aisles. But sometimes we knew about it, sometimes we didn't. We knew there was some kind of celebrities or what have you, and we'd always look up for my work. But we never knew any of them.
Was the grapevine real good there?
Well, yes. It was fairly good, yes. We got a lot of gossip out of it. But nothing that we cared anything about. He was just about a fellow worker or something, you know, like that, or maybe a lead man or supervisor or something like that, you know. Or there at the last, it got pretty raunchy. So I heard up in the planes that were going off the line.
Mm-hmm. At the end of the war, you mean?
Yes. Well, I know it was after the war.
Oh.
Yeah. When we were working on the DCs. But during the war, on night shift, that the grapevine did come in that several women got pregnant. And they were on either the second or third, you know, graveyard. Now, we heard this. Now, how true it was, I don't know. I didn't know any of them.
since you boarded, what kinds of chores would you have to do in addition to your work?
I had no chores to do except to make my bed and straighten and keep my own room clean. She would have done that, but I said, what's the use? We're just in here to sleep, and I'll do it on my days off. And change my bed. She would have changed my bed. A lot of times she did. You know, if I was doing something else, she would change my bed once a week. She changed everyone's bed once a week. But the younger girls, younger than I am, they all stayed out in the garage. She turned into a bedroom, big bedroom, and there was about four or five girls out there in that. And they all slept, in the beds. I don't know. I was out there once or twice, but I didn't pay much attention to them. They were rattling off. But as a rule, that was all. When we left the table, we should have picked up our plates and taken them to the kitchen, but we didn't. She wanted the plates left around the table, and everything was served in bowls. We weren't served individual. We served ourselves at the table. One big happy family. And that's all the chores that I had to do. Well, I had to do some of my laundry. I did it in her machine, or she would do it for me. And I had to do my own ironing. Ironing my daughters, and that was all.
You didn't have to do any shopping or anything?
No, no shopping. Only except for our individual self, you know. That's all. No, we didn't know what we were going to have from one meal to the next, but it was a good one, because she was a good cook. She was from Iowa. She was a doggone good cook.
I'm wondering, you moved out here by yourself. You'd been married for 9 years before.
Yes. Yes.
And you'd lived at home before that. I wonder what it was like for you to be on your own for really the first time.
I was absolutely scared to death. If I had the money, I'd have turned right around and went back to Texas for people I knew. I had oodles and gobs of friends back there, and I also had my mother back there and my brothers and sisters back there. If I'd have had the money, I was scared to death. When I got on that streetcar, I didn't know where that streetcar was taking us. And I was so ignorant. A lot of us Texas people were that way. That when my sister told me where to get off to call my brother to come and get me, we went to Ocean Park down here at a drugstore. She said there was a phone in there. I didn't know how to dial. Because we have these old-time phones, you know, that you ring on and get your party. But I had never dialed a phone. And I asked the guy in the drugstore, would he come back and dial that number for me? And so I called my brother, and he lived right here close too. And he said, stay right where you are. Don't move. And I'll come after you. And I stayed here about a week before I ever started looking for a job. And they told me that I had just to grit my teeth and bear it and go down and go to the unemployment office and see if I couldn't find one of some kind. So I did. But you could go up and down the streets, you know, and you'd see signs in the window, help wanted, help wanted. And I wanted to be a waitress. I'd been a cook the biggest part of my younger life. But I wanted to be a waitress. But I was just afraid to tackle it. One of the bigger places in Santa Monica wanted to hire me and wanted to teach me. And I said, no, I was afraid that I would take a big plate of food to somebody and down in the lap it and go. And I was afraid. So I just worked my little time out till I got myself pulled together.